is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Hello, everybody. I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and welcome back for another episode of Tennessee Talks. Again, we're good on here with the good folks from Rumble, so that's pretty cool. I'm excited about that association with them. Today, it's going to be a little different. It's just going to be me yakking at you, and it probably won't be as long. But I wanted to talk to you all about what's really going on in Washington and some of the things that tick me off about this place, because there's a lot of them. Of course, the House is in session this week, and there's some things we're voting on, legislative branch appropriations. We always go through these appropriations, and we, you know, you'll hem-haw back and forth, and we pass things, and then they don't pass in the Senate, and then here we are, $30-plus trillion in debt. We add another $1 trillion every 100 days, and we always say things like, you know, we're going to get this done, and or we can't get it done because of the circumstances. We're going to get it next time, and there's always a next time and a next time and a next time. It just never seems to happen, and it's the old-timers just kind of chuckle at it, and the people that haven't been here for a while, they listen to those things, and they think, oh, okay, well, next time we'll get it then, and then next time never comes, and then the folks that have been here for a short amount of time, and they become the ones that have been here for a long amount of time, and then the nonsense continues, or the shenanigans. A good bill my buddy Chip Roy out of Texas has, it's the Safeguard American Voters Eligibility Act, or the SAVE Act. I think there's like a group of people that just take these bills and figure out some acronyms they can pass. You know, it sounds SAVE Act. That sounds great. But it's a really decent bill. It removes the non-citizens from the voter rolls. And what you'll see is the Democrats will vote in lockstep with their leadership. And they'll probably vote close to 100%, if not in the high 90 percentile, in against this bill. And you got to wonder, why are they doing this? Well, the bill basically just says you got to, you know, you have to show an ID to buy a six pack of beer. You got to show an ID to fly on an airplane, to purchase a gun, purchase ammo, things like that. And yet here to vote, you basically just show up. And then you've got some states that have issued driver's licenses to people that are not here legally. And, you know, we went through that in Tennessee, and I remember when I was in the state Senate, it was voted on. I voted against it. I thought it was a bad idea. It was they called it a temporary license or something like that, so they could get insurance. But you're giving a legal document to somebody who is here illegally. And that's not too far from being able to maybe go to another state and say, oh, I got a Tennessee driver's license. And so they start receiving benefits, and then fraud is there. If there's money or power available, somebody's going to be ripping you and me off, and they're going to find a way to do it. And lawyers, when they pass all, like our ethics laws, they pass these dadgum ethics laws, and then the next thing you know, there's somebody getting around. Well, why is that? Well, the people that wrote it are the ones getting around it. They're the ones that are sitting at the table. So you have our National Chambers of Commerce to blame for some of that, because they have defeated every real meaningful bill that we could adjust or change our immigration laws. There's a bill to reverse Biden administration's Title IX, which allows men to invade women's sports and enter girls' locker rooms. There is nothing more repulsive to me than that whole notion that these men who are mediocre athletes, they claim they're a woman, as a member of the administration told us last week. They asked, what defines their sex? And this lady said, whatever they want it to be. And, you know, that's just bogus. You have some dude going into a women's locker room changing. My friend Riley Gaines, she's really on the forefront of this thing. She's actually a Tennessee girl. She swam in Kentucky, and she swam against this dude. And, you know, he changed in the locker room, and he was still dating a woman at the time, but claimed he was a woman, and he was a mediocre swimmer at best in men's sports. I think he was like in the top 400 or something like that. And then, of course, he swims against women, and men and women are their muscle structure, everything else is different. You'd say, oh, there's no difference. Well, how many dudes can have a baby? Zero. Zero. In the history of this world, There's never been a man that has given birth. And so they continue to push this crazy agenda. I remembered I was, when I was mayor of Knox County, I remember talking to a Olympic athlete, and I said, I could see this thing coming. And I said, you know, are y'all going to do anything about it? And they said, we don't have anything to worry about. The Nobody's going to go for that. That's just too far out. And sure enough, here we are 6 years later, and that's where we're at. And it's, it's kind of a defining moment. You're allowing a very small, which I think a mentally ill minority. And if you look it up in the medical books, that's what it is. I know some people in our media don't like that. And I was kicked off of one of our national networks because I had the audacity to say that this is a mental illness. You know, it's not normal for some kid to want to have their genitals removed. And it's not normal and not morally right for doctors to do that. I think they've lost all sense of reality in these schools that are doing this, and these medical schools and these colleges, they're just chasing dollars. They could give a rip about what's right or wrong. It's just the bottom line. And that's, to me, that's pretty gross. And we need to do everything we can to defeat that. Excuse me. There's been a lot of talk lately about Joe Biden being unwell. Well, that's been our talk for a long time. If you followed my podcast or followed me, I've been saying that for years. He is mentally not competent. I've had conversations with him more than once, and it was just, it was scary, really. I told somebody the first time I had a conversation with him, I went from anger to pity because I could see that he was not who he originally was. Obviously, none of us are, but the average rank-and-file citizen who has cognitive issues is not the one in charge of the nuclear football. It's not making decisions that can affect the entire world, but just they can just say things, and you know, you can shift markets, you can do a lot of things, and his judgment is off, and the debate just proved that, and everybody knows it, and the Democrats now are just scrambling over who to support and what to do. And we all know that, but, you know, here we are again. Should we remove him from office? Now, my political side says, no, let's leave him in office because he's, you know, we can easily defeat him. But these 7 months could be make or break for our country. Can you imagine what Xi Jinping and Putin and North Korea are all thinking right now? They all realize what some of us have been saying. In the media, national media has been covering for it, our state-run media, if you will. They continuously have said these things are not real, and yet they would feed him the questions, and he would, you know, you'd see him at a press conference, and he'd say, I'm going to call on, and he said, it says right here, and then he'd call out the person's name. And, you know, they were in on it because they helped elect him. They had so much invested in this president that they had to follow through with it, and they were the puppeteers, and the deep state and this far left group that you see a lot of, and you wonder, who are these people? How did they get that way? Well, a lot of them, to me, are the people in high school that you knew that everybody, unfortunately, there were people that everybody picked on. They weren't, you know, they weren't in the glee club. They weren't a cheerleader. They weren't on the chess team. They didn't play football. They weren't in student government. And I feel like now a lot of these people are just getting even with us, and they're doing a pretty dadgum good job of it. And unfortunately, they are publicly educated, and we've allowed that. And you say, oh, that's crazy. That's not public education. Well, my friend Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's my friend, we don't agree on anything. I mean, she's openly, I guess, just a Marxist almost. Yet, what is she? She was publicly educated at a public university, and what's her degree in? Economics. So I think that's a case in point right there that we need to really be paying attention of what's going on with our national media. And now, of course, they're turning on him, but they didn't have any choice because we all saw it. You know, they said it was all doctored media, but you know, don't believe my lying eyes. When I was watching, I wasn't going to watch the debate because I'm not a big fan of them. You bring your side, I bring my side. And we both leave thinking we won, but I'd written a tweet and I said, I give this debate to Donald Trump. And I thought, well, I'm going to wait and watch. And then I saw Biden walk out as he was walking out, and I just went on and sent the tweet because I could tell it was just going to go downhill, and I could not believe how far it went. Merrick Garland, He's refused to hand over the tapes from Biden's interview with Robert Hur. And I believe what those tapes are going to further prove is what we saw on that debate screen. You know, they said, people tell me, well, Birch, they released the transcripts of it. Well, you don't know where the comma and the periods were, and you don't know who was in the room advising him, because that would pick up everybody in there. And Merrick Garland is defying what we've said. And my friend Representative Luna from Florida, I'm with her on this. This is not the time to let up on these things. It's a political world. It's a political season. And if we have short memories in the Republican Party. If you remember back, Bill Clinton, he was very popular. We weren't for him, but I can remember it came out that he had evaded the draft, the Vietnam draft. He went to Canada and to study or whatever. And then, but he did not, he was a draft dodger, and it came out. And I remember thinking, wow, we got him now. And everybody was cheering. Yeah, well, this thing's over. And Carville, James Carville, their advisor, he had a slogan that said, it's the economy, stupid. And we did not pay attention to what was going on. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, we could do that. So I hope people keep their eye on the prize and remember that we've got a lot to do. And it's not just a presidential race. There's congressional races, and especially these local races. School boards, state legislatures, governors, mayors, those things. Those are incredibly important to us. Some things that really ticked me off in Congress, we got what's called a pay-to-play, basically. You got to either, they say, Burchett, you've been there 6 years. Why aren't you in leadership or in a committee? Because you really got to do two things. You got to raise money for the conference or the caucus, and you got to kiss a lot of butt. And I'm not very good at either one of those things, obviously. I stay in office because I work hard, and I knock on doors, and I meet with people, and I go to a lot of events, and I vote my conscience, and that is apparently the conscience of a lot of folks in East Tennessee, and y'all reelect me. But that, to me, is a ridiculous situation. You wonder why you have these, literally, and sometimes you've seen in the past, these old men and old women, frankly, they get up and they say things that are just totally disconnected. How are they in there? Because they raise so much money, and the lobbyists own them, and that's why nothing really ever gets done. And it's a bad system, and we need to change it. And the only way we're going to change it is y'all elect people that don't think that way. You know, members, this is something else that always ticks me off, and I bring this up, and the party always comes after me, but it's the truth. We go home, and we preach, you know, they go to these Reagan Day dinners or Lincoln Day dinners, and now they've got the MAGA dinners, and they, you know, throw the red meat out. Let's get after them. Let's get on this. Let's go. And then what the heck do we do when we get up here, dadgummit? We vote y'all down the river. We pass these 2,000-page spending bills, and you look, you know, here's how it works. You read down the list, and you go through, and you find, oh, there's page 32. That takes care of all my pork, all my stuff I want. I can grease all the lobbyists down here on K Street with this. And then they stop reading. And that's why we're $32-plus trillion in debt, because we don't have the guts to do single spending bills like we do in Tennessee in the state legislature. Tennessee has zero debt. And yet, and people are just clamoring to get in Tennessee. It's the number one U-Haul destination in the country, because that's where they go. That's where people are moving to. Low tax state, zero debt, and it's a wonderful, no state income tax. I also want to talk a little bit about some legislation that I have and some of the frustrations I have with it. It's called the Genetic Privacy Act bill. There's a recent article, I'm not sure if, I think it might have been Wall Street Journal, that came out and said the Chinese are using our genome, which is basically just a roadmap of our genetic history of this country and the people in it. And how are they getting that information? They're going to these things like these ancestry things. You know, you find out, oh, my history of, you know, from Africa or England or France or someplace, you know, far away. And we find out our history, and we find out most of the time we're mostly just a bunch of mutts, which, you know, most of us are. And so what are the Chinese doing? They're buying this information from these companies, and they're using it to create a genome, a genetic warfare, really. Now, what if they had a virus? It's not too hard to, with COVID. I mean, that was obviously created in a lab in China, and it just went worldwide. But what if they developed a virus that just affected people in America, a certain group that was of childbearing ages, and they were to eliminate that. And it's not too far to think, y'all, the Chinese wouldn't do that. Well, I mean, they were in recent history. It went to the top, and they almost did it. They were going to drop a nuclear bomb on their own people just to find out the dadgum effects of it. They have very little compassion for their people. The ruling class does, and we've got a ruling class in our country that shares some of those similar beliefs. I don't think they want to nuke us, but they are in love with the dollars. And I can't seem to get that bill out of committee. I can't get it. I can't even get it heard. I'm going to go see the speaker, and I'll be talking about that later in more of another setting at some point if I don't get some satisfaction out of it, I don't see some movement out of that bill, because we've been told time and time again what they're doing, and yet we are in bed with these lobbyists for whatever reason, China or whoever, and we are not. We're going to hang ourselves with this kind of stuff. And that's the kind of thing we need to be addressing, and we've got time to do it. We have 22 more days left of legislative session. We ought to be using every dadgum one of them. These post offices and such are going to name themselves with or without us. And those are just some things I'm frustrated about. And people will say, I knock on doors every day I'm back in the district, except on Sundays, of course. And people say, well, Burchett, my vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter. Your vote does matter. It does count. Please do not let this bunch win. We are going to lose our country, folks. Dadgum, we've got too much to be thankful for. People are clamoring to get in this country, and they're running away from the stuff that we're running towards. We've got to get more control of this thing. Y'all have got to get out and vote. You've got to take this country back, top to bottom, from the president up to the school board, because that's it all happens in between there. And again, thank y'all so much for allowing me to be here. Thank the good folks at Rumble. If I can point there. Yeah, there it is. For letting me use their facilities and this service. This is awesome. And thank y'all so much for your support. Again, I'm Tim Burchett, another issue of Tennessee Talks. And as always, thank y'all for sending me here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.